Well, there's one conference that has had unparalleled success the last decade, and that is the Southeastern Conference. The SEC is responsible for 8 out of the last 10 national titles, the final few BCS titles leading up to the final one, and then in the college football playoff last year, the Alabama Crimson Tide won the SEC its first playoff championship. Will Alabama stay on top in the SEC? That's one of our topics today. Welcome to the BunnSports.com podcast. I'm Jacob Bunn. I'm joined by the college football professor, and we'll start right there. The Crimson Tide, 4 national championships under Nick Saban, 2009, 2011, 2012, and now last year, 2015, they were able to do it again. Their first playoff championship, the SEC, as I mentioned, gets its first playoff championship. So that's where we'll start, Professor, as we look at this league, the best league in college football. Does Alabama stay on top?
Well, we keep thinking that somebody's going to knock them off, but they're, the king of the mountain right now. They're standing on top, and it'll take somebody having a great year to be able to remove them from that spot. This could be the year because the SEC West is so tough and so difficult, but yet Alabama is tough and difficult.
A lot of good teams in the SEC this year, and as this program continues, we'll give you our thoughts as to whether Alabama will stay on top or will it be somebody else. We'll give you our predictions in a moment. But first, let's start with some new faces in the league this year, and we have a couple of new head coaches, but we also have a ton of new coordinators, both on the defense, especially on the defensive side of the ball, but on both sides of the ball. Talk about those new faces we'll see in the league this year.
Well, it's just absolutely amazing when you think about 3 new coaches. Of course, Georgia, Kirby Smart, and Barry Odom at Missouri.
Right.
And then Will Muschamp at South Carolina.
Right. But and then he's not a new name, but he's a new face at South Carolina.
Absolutely. Well, all of them were already in the conference, so there's
right.
No new guys outside
right.
from outside
But as
the
a head coach, Muschamp had been previous. And Barry Odom, talk about him a little bit. We don't know much about Barry
Odom. We know
Odom.
Very little. Yeah. I was impressed with him at media's days. Mm-hmm. He was very upbeat and seemed like exciting. And, you know, the players were really excited about him getting the job, so evidently he has a good rapport with them.
But talk about these coordinators.
Oh, my goodness. When you talk about, Jeremy Pruitt going from Georgia to Alabama, or Kevin
right.
Steele going from LSU to Auburn. So it's just a matter of going from one to the other, it looks like. But Mel Tucker is going from Alabama to Georgia.
And I think the most impactful, and I'm sure you're going to get to him on this list, but I want to jump ahead of you and say that I think the most impactful hire of any offseason hire that was not a head coaching hire was Dave Aranda at LSU. I think that guy is going to do wonders for that defense. Not that we've seen what Javis and even Kevin Steele last year has done with his defense. They get good players, but Dave Aranda knows how to coach. Look at his stats at Wisconsin. He had a very highly rated defensive unit each year.
So you're saying that when everybody thought LSU had really lost out when Javis left to go to Texas A&M, they've really come out real good.
Absolutely. And also, you look at Bob Shoop at Tennessee. There are several under-the-radar hires that I think could end up playing big this year.
Absolutely.
We've talked about the Heisman Trophy contenders, and the SEC always boasts some of the top players, top athletes in the nation. You look at recruiting rankings, you can tell that. But we have a couple of running backs this year in the league that are going to be elite, probably the best in college football. Leonard Fournette at LSU and Nick Chubb at Georgia. Talk about each of these two young men.
It's amazing how both these Nick Chubb and Leonard Fournette are really outstanding running backs. And I think either one of them could have a super, super banner year. But, Jacob, you know there are 3 or 4 other real stars in the league, not just these two running backs. Quarterback Chad Kelly
yes.
at Ole Miss, or maybe Cam Robinson, All-American tackle at
yes.
Alabama. And then there's Jalen Tabor. If he gets on the field, well, he will after UMass.
Mm-hmm.
But the defensive back, they say he's just about as good as anybody.
I would agree.
And then another Alabama player is that Jonathan Allen, who we thought most everybody thought he'd be in the NFL this year, but he's back at Alabama.
Stars are all over the place. And you didn't even mention Josh Dobbs, the quarterback at Tennessee, who I think is going to have a tremendous impact this year. And also Antonio Callaway from Florida, another impact player there. And there are several defensive backs in this league that I think are going to make huge statements. And there's one player that I think, underrated player, two players actually from the same team, but underrated player, Malachi Dupree. You don't hear a lot about him being a one of the top players in the conference, but he's a wide receiver for LSU. I think at the end of the year, he is going to be right there. And another name, get used to hearing, Darius Geis. He is the backup running back for LSU. And just if Leonard Fournette can't go as well as we think he can early in the year, if the injury continues to nag him or whatever, I think Darius Geis may be a serious running threat that nobody's talking about.
It's interesting, though, when you think about those two, each one of those has an obstacle in the way. First of all, they got to have a passer to throw it to Malachi Dupree, and that's the question.
Yes.
And then the question about whether Leonard Fournette will give enough room for guys to run. So even though these are two stars in the making, but yet they've got to get on the field.
Plenty to digest in the SEC, so let's jump right in. The SEC East will go 7-1, and then we'll go to the SEC West, largely considered the best division in college football, 7-1. Number 7 in the SEC East this year, we have Vanderbilt. 4-8 last year. Derek Mason entering his third season. We have the Commodores sliding a bit this year, back to 2-10, 0-8. Just don't see a lot for the Commodores.
Well, head coach Derek Mason has the enthusiasm, and he is a difference maker. In fact, he took over the defense last year, and they had a really good defense. And they're solid this year at linebacker. They're solid at running back. They have a junior by the name of Ralph Webb, who is really a good running back. So he could be a difference maker. And then a defensive back by the name of Torian McGaster is a very good defensive back. But the problem is, look for the 2016 edition of the Black and Gold from Nashville to be salty, but the salt can't make average taste good.
We mentioned Barry Odom earlier. He is the first-year head coach at Missouri. Last year, they were 5-7. We believe they'll take a slight step back this year in a transition season to 4-8, 1-7 in SEC play. The Tigers, this is a team that won the SEC East 2 years in a row 2 years ago, but now they're taking a little bit of a slide.
The Missouri Tigers offense was offensive last year. And new coaches, new system, and a new year, can it make a difference? Well, you got to have players. Well, they have a good defensive lineman, as they always do. Seems like they're always coming up with these great defensive linemen. Charles Harris, he's another good one. And their quarterback, Drew Locke, he's got skill and leadership, and he had some flashes last year. Their defense will probably be pretty solid again this year. But the question for head coach Barry Odom, has he got enough tools in the toolbox for that offense? Well, I'm going to tell you, Jacob, you've got to show me.
And so it is the Missouri, it is the show me state that's aptly put there by you. Fifth in the SEC East, we have the South Carolina Gamecocks. They were 3-9 a year ago as Steve Spurrier left midseason. He resigned, and Sean Elliott took over the program as the interim head coach. They ended up 3-9, not a good season for the Gamecocks. Just short of bowl eligibility is where we have them this year, 5-7, 1-7 in league play.
The old ball coach is gone, and he didn't leave very many logs in the fireplace for Will Muschamp. So it looks like the new coach will have to start from scratch with a freshman quarterback who came from the state of Pennsylvania, Brandon McElwish, I think is McElwain is his name, and so that's where they are. Now, they do have a really good linebacker in Sky Moore, and he's a goodie.
The problem is he's out for the season.
He is. Yes. Well, that's just about the only hope they had. Well, I'm going to say it's going to be a long season for the Gamecocks. That's just the way it is. This could be a long year for Muschamp. But the question I'm going to ask you, Jacob, is will Muschamp be able to keep from blowing a gasket?
It will be tough. As you saw him last year as the defensive coordinator at Auburn, and we've seen him as the head coach at Florida, he gets rather animated on the sidelines. Number 4 in our countdown of the SEC East teams is Kentucky. They were 5-7 a year ago. Mark Stoops is entering his fifth season in Lexington. We have them actually making it to a bowl. 6-6, 3-5 in SEC play. A rather manageable schedule for the Wildcats this year, and we have them at 500.
You can't talk about the Wildcats without talking about Boom Williams. Mm-hmm. He is a quality player, But, you know, Jacob, here's the problem. He can't do everything. Now, he'll almost do everything, but he can't do it all. But he gives the Wildcats a real punch from running back. And their quarterback, it's about time for their quarterback, Drew Barker, to come into his own. So this could be a year that Kentucky begins to move forward. And they have a good offensive line led by John Toth. So I think you're right. Head coach Mark Stoops has got them moving in the right direction.
Speaking of quarterback, head coach Kirby Smart taking over in Athens, 10-3 a year ago with the Georgia Bulldogs. They had a good season, just not good enough to keep Mark Richt around. But Kirby Smart comes in, and will they start a true freshman at quarterback? That seems to be the buzz this offseason in Athens. They're third in our countdown of SEC East teams. At 7-5, we have them going this year, 4-4 in league play. Is Jacob Eason going to get the start?
Well, I'm going to say this, that as you just said, Mark Richt is gone. A new staff is on board. But what will the Bulldogs from Athens look like? What kind of team are they going to be? As you said, they probably will start the quarterback, freshman quarterback Jacob Eason. And their best player is Nick Chubb, who's coming off of a major injury. So there's two real questions to start with. And then before you get to answer those questions, running back Sonny Michelle is out with injury. So I'm going to say that head coach Kirby Smart may wish he could play himself, but he won't be able to. He's got a lot of holes to fill. And then think about this. They open with the University of North Carolina.
They're going to lose that one.
That's not going to be a picnic.
No.
They play at Ole Miss. Then they have Tennessee at home, and then Florida. I mean, they're really facing some difficulties.
Auburn and Georgia Tech. You can't sleep on any of those teams. Florida is number two in our SEC East countdown. A year ago, this team went to the SEC title game and shocked everyone with a 10-4 season when it was all said and done. We think they'll lose four games again this year, but it'll be 8-4 when it's all said and done. Jim McElwain in his second year. Florida has a lot of pieces. They're starting Luke Del Rio at quarterback, as they just announced, but it's just not quite enough to win the East this year.
Well, I guess you could say that Jim McElwain, if he could just duplicate last year, which most people don't think he will, but the success that the Gators had, you'd have to say, Jacob, that they were the surprise team. Surprised most of us last year. That was a tremendous start. And as you said, with transfer Luke Del Rio as a quarterback,
Son of Jack Del Rio, by the way.
That's right. And they're limited at running back, and they have no really good offensive linemen, so they could struggle on offense. Now, on defense, they got, as we talked about a few minutes ago, Jalen Tabor is currently, he's just a big-time player. But they got a lot of talent. Can they bring it together?
Well, we're buying into the hype. The hype machine has been there all offseason, and we are buying in here at BuntSports.com. Tennessee, we think, is going to rule the roost in the SEC East. We have them going 11-1 and 7-1 in SEC play. In fact, the only loss that we see the Vols incurring in the regular season is to the Alabama Crimson Tide in Knoxville. This is a loaded Tennessee team, and they're playing in a division where they can rack up the wins.
Is this the year for the Big Orange in the Big Orange country? Now, here's the question. Are they being overhyped? Now, they do have some really good pieces. In fact, they've got a lot of good players, and you already alluded to Joshua Dobbs and running back Jalen Hurd are some of the best in the whole country. They're quality volunteers that head coach Butch Jones has to call upon. But, you know, what about the offensive line? Well, they've got a good offensive line. And is led by Derek Bennett and some others, and not to mention the fact that they have maybe the best kick returner in Evan Berry and the best punt returner in Cameron Sutton. So they've got a lot of pieces. They're ready for the run at quarterback, ready for the run at running back. They're ready for the run at offensive line and defensive line. Well, with all that, with 17 starters returning, Tennessee knows it's now or what.
Never. Absolutely. Not only Tennessee, but Butch Jones. If they don't make noise this year, his seat could be very warm. Let's jump to the SEC West now. The best division in college football. We'll start with number 7, Mississippi State, 9-4 a year ago. This is the eighth season for Dan Mullen. We have them going 7-5 this year, 3-5 in SEC play.
Jacob, if I were to give you in one sentence a summary for Mississippi State, I would say there are not very many strong points for the Bulldogs as they look to their 2016 season. But as usual, now think about this, as usual, head coach Dan Mullen pulls something together that we don't expect. And it will not be Dak Prescott this time because he's with the Cowboys.
He's doing quite well.
Yep. But they have linebacker Richie Brown, who will anchor their defense, and he's really a good player. And they have an outstanding wide receiver in Fred Ross. But the star of the team may be freshman defensive lineman Jeffrey Simmons, 6'4", 275, and he will be a difference maker.
Highly controversial there, as he, of course, was the off-season storyline. He was videoed punching a woman, and a lot was made over that, and he will be with the Mississippi State Bulldogs this year. Well, let's move to the other side of the state, northern part of the state. Ole Miss Rebels, 7-5 and 4-4 is how we project Hugh Freeze's program going. A lot of NCAA questions around this team. 10-3 last year. They returned five starters on both sides of the ball. Hugh Freeze going into his fifth season. It's going to be tough for Ole Miss. I just don't see where they get the wins this year.
If you want to make the, you know, scratching on the backboard, that kind of thing, you know what, how that causes some people to cringe. If you want Ole Miss to cringe, just say Memphis 37, Ole Miss 24. Story, that's the end of the story in Oxford in 2015. Now, the question is, can a new chapter be written in 2016? Well, senior quarterback Chad Kelly and tight end Evan Engram says yes, but at Arkansas, at LSU, at Texas A&M says no.
No.
Too many losses on defense. Only three starters returning. They'll have a good defense, I'm sure. Running back is questionable. They should have a good linebacker. In fact, they brought one of their D-backs up to linebacker, and he is really a good one when you think about Tony Connor. And they got a transfer, one of these senior graduate transfers, Romel Maggio from Oregon State. And they have wide receiver who is outstanding in Quincy
Adebojo. And they actually have several wide receivers.
Evan Ingram is one of the best in the country.
And also Damari Stringfellow. Don't forget about him. And there's a freshman, his name escapes me, that is coming in there who is supposed to be really, really electric on the outside in Oxford. Let's move on to Arkansas now. They went 8-5 a year ago. Steps forward have been made each year under Brett Bielema. He's in his fourth season. We see them taking a slight step back, but still middle of the pack in the SEC West. We have them finishing 7-5 and 4-4.
Well, Austin Allen will take over for his brother Brandon, who left off in 2015. And I guess the Razorbacks are probably placing their hope on the Hogs, not the quarterback. And when I'm talking about these Razorback Hogs, I'm talking about that offensive line led by Dan Skipper and Dietrich Wise. That's the hope for, as usually the Bellamy team is looking for. But they do have a quality wide receiver in Dominic Reed. He's a real threat. But they play at home to Texas A&M. They play at home to Florida, Alabama, LSU. So they got a lot of things going their way.
Texas A&M, 8-5 a year ago, excuse me. They returned six starters on offense, seven on defense. Kevin Sumlin, seat may be warming a little bit for him. He is in his fifth season in College Station. So we have the Aggies finishing 8-4 overall and 4-4 in SEC play, coming in at number four in our SEC West standings.
Well, the last time the SEC saw quarterback Trevor Knight, he was putting the Sooner logo on Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. While the Aggies faithful are asking questions, head coach Kevin Sumlin hopes Knight has the answer. The Texas A&M quarterback revolving door has caused the foundations to shake in College Station. The 2016 hopes for things to settle down are depending on star wide receiver Christian Kirk and star defensive lineman Miles Garrett. You won't find any two better players in the country. And, yes, The X factor is X, Oklahoma signal caller, Trevor Knight.
Absolutely he is, and you're right about all those players. Nobody should be more disruptive this year than Myles Garrett, the defensive lineman at Texas A&M. Well, Auburn is an interesting story. 7-6 last year. A lot of talk this offseason about Gus Malzahn and his job security as he goes through this season. We actually think Auburn is going to improve by two games and go 9-3, 5-3 in SEC play, which I think Auburn fans would consider mildly successful given what has happened the last few years. So Malzahn in his fourth season, the Tigers return six starters on both sides of the ball. What say you about Auburn?
Well, I think that if you really want to put a question mark by any team, it would be the Auburn Tigers. Here are three questions that are critical. First of all, what is the plan on the Plains? Mm-hmm. Second, who will be the quarterback? Third, who's going to be the running back? They've lost good running backs and quarterbacks, and they're really strong in the middle. In other words, Brandon Smith and Alec Corzon are just about mm-hmm. these two guards are just top-notch. But could it be that Malzahn is pinning his hopes on new defensive coordinator Kevin Steele and a pair of great defensive players in Carl Lawson and Brian Cowart? Are those is that where Malzahn is really pinning his hopes?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think there have been some interesting comments made recently about the success of Auburn's defensive line. But I think it is going to be a tail of the tape. But when it comes to defense, I think Auburn, they're going to have to keep games close. They're not going to have their usual. We've seen in the past Malzahn's offense 65-49 or whatever type games. I just don't see that this year. It's going to have to be slugfest. And Carl Lawson and Byron Cowart, as you mentioned, they're going to have to be very disruptive on that defensive line for Auburn to have any shot whatsoever. Let's move northwest along Highway 280 and Interstate 2059. That would be the Alabama Crimson Tide, 14-1 a year ago. Nick Saban has been coaching in Tuscaloosa for a decade. This is his 10th season as the head coach of the Crimson. It doesn't matter. I was about to read the returning starters. It really doesn't matter. It's Alabama. We have them going 11-1 again, 7-1 in SEC play, but for some reason they're number two in our countdown. We'll get into that in a few minutes. But talk about the Tide this year. Very, very good team once again.
Well, last season ended with Alabama presenting number one Clemson with its first loss of the season and locking up another national championship. Now, when they brought home that national championship, that began to fill up the trophy case there. But the Tide begins 2016 with losses of its own. Heisman Trophy winner Derrick Henry, quarterback Jake Coker. Whoever is the quarterback this year will have enough stars in their wide receiver unit to put on a new crown. Well, look, think about Calvin Ridley, Ardarius Stewart, tight end O.J. Howard, to name a few. They will have a top two or three in the SEC offensive line, led by All-American Cam Robinson. And he will be able to protect the quarterback, and this line will open the barn door for a new stable of horses to run, like Bo Scarborough and Damian Harris. The defense will again be a challenge for any offense it faces. Looking at the fact that they lost Reggie Ragland, Jared Reed, and other great players to the NFL only gives linebacker Reuben Foster and Tim Williams the chance to leave their calling card. And think about it, Jacob. Defensive lineman Jonathan Allen himself, a prudential rock, and would be good insurance for any head coach. And then you think about the fact that Minka Fitzpatrick.
Minka Fitzpatrick.
And Eddie Jackson would upgrade the Dallas Cowboys secondary. Well, that's not even, don't forget the fact that they got J.K. Scott, the best punter in the nation. So look out for Bama to roll again.
The Dallas Cowboys, by the way, can use any help they can get. But you're absolutely right. This Alabama team is loaded on both sides of the football. And you've got an innovator like Lane Kiffin on offense. Yeah, you have a quarterback situation, again, where you have to choose from a number of talented guys. But you've got an innovator in Lane Kiffin. You know he can put plays together to get the ball in the hands of your playmakers. You've got Calvin Ridley, who's on the wide out. You've got one of the best, really, wide receiver cores in America. Yes, you do have questions at running back. I think that's where it's going to be interesting for Alabama this year. That may be the one concern, major concern I would have as a Tide fan. Can Bo Scarborough and Damian Harris and whoever else runs the football for Alabama carry that, or is there going to be some lack of consistency at that position? So Alabama loaded once again. Our top team in the SEC West is LSU, the exact same record as Alabama, 11-1, 7-1. Of course, you probably can figure out we have them winning the game in Baton Rouge against the Tide, which they have not done the last five tries. They have not beaten the Tide. But LSU, they have the making for a championship team if they can put it together. They have the pounding running back. They have a quarterback who has experience and can throw and can run. And they have a dominating defense with a defensive coordinator, as we discussed earlier, in Dave Aranda, who can get it done. But there always seems to be an issue with LSU, whether it's the offense can't produce or they're calling dumb plays or whatever it is, Les Miles. So talk to me about this LSU team this year and what we could expect.
I guess as I sit here at this time, a few days away from the start of the season and a few weeks before LSU gets into the big game, you know, the one question I would have is what's under the hat? One thing that is no secret, though, is running back Leonard Fournette. But the thing that keeps the Baton Rouge faithful on edge is quarterback Brandon Harris. Now, they have an outstanding center in Ethan Paca who can give Harris a sense of confidence and comfort. And they have a defensive lineman by the name of Arden Key that would have been a monster on Coach Paul Dietzel's famous Chinese Bandits back in 1958 when LSU won the national championship. The talent's there, Jacob. Cornerback Tre'Darrius White, mm-hmm. and Samuel, Jamal Adams, and so many others, they're there. They're as good as any in the U.S. But the question is, can defensive coordinator, as you've already alluded to, their new defensive coordinator, Dave Aranda, can he bring this group of Tigers together? Can he cage them into a championship unit? Well, LSU does have a 25-year-old freshman tight end who is coming on board, and he must have a lot of maturity being 25, so maybe he's going to give the maturity to this team so that they can go a long way. But look out for the fact that they play at Florida, at Arkansas, and then they catch Alabama and Ole Miss at home.
The one loss we have for LSU in our simulation is at Arkansas. And I think you're right. I think that is a very dangerous game. You look at the Alabama game, it's huge. If they can somehow win that game, which we think they will eke that out, didn't they go on the road to Arkansas? This is an Arkansas team that matches up very poorly for LSU. So, and you mentioned it, Tyron Johnson, wide out, Malachi Dupree, Trayvon Doral, they have some playmakers. The question is going to be, can Brandon Harris get those guys the ball? And I guess in our prediction, we think that they will do just enough to make it through. They'll get scathed, but they will make it to the SEC championship game. And we have the LSU Tigers beating Tennessee for the SEC championship in 2016. So that's where we see the SEC this year. And again, we're rarely correct, so it could go an entirely separate way. But once again, you can look at this SEC West, you can look at the East too, in Tennessee and Florida, as a lot of talent in this league.
If you were to, just off the top of your head now, this is a question. If you were to think about, now there's going to be a lot of great games in the SEC this year. Mm-hmm. I mean big-time games. Mm-hmm. But if you could say there's one or two that you just absolutely can't wait to see, what would be those couple of games?
Alabama, LSU, I think that's going to be, of course, that's the cliche answer that everybody would give, Alabama, LSU. I think Tennessee, Florida is going to be huge. Tennessee, Alabama, as we mentioned earlier, is going to be very interesting. And then I think Texas A&M and LSU. This is a game that a lot of people haven't talked about, but it's on the last Saturday of the season. Texas A&M and LSU could be very consequential in the race. So just to give you an answer that's not the same old, I will say Texas A&M and LSU. What about that's not mentioning all the great games in week one. I mean, I could certainly go to Florida State, Ole Miss, to Alabama, USC, Auburn, Clemson, Wisconsin, LSU, North Carolina, Georgia. I mean, we're just naming some incredible matchups. What about you?
Well, like you said, you named some of these great games, LSU, Alabama, Texas A&M, LSU.
You're not going to say Kentucky and South Carolina,
no,
are you?
No, I'm not. But you know, I think that this year it might be that the game in Jacksonville, Florida, may be a game that tells us an awful lot about two different teams and where they're going.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. This could be a divergent path-crossing game there with Florida and Georgia in the party out there in Jacksonville. Well, for the college football professor, I am Jacob Bunn. We appreciate you joining us for all of our Power 5 conference previews. We're done. We have no more conferences to preview, so next week we'll give you who we think is going to the national championship, the college football playoff, and all the bowls, and then who will ultimately win the 2016 national title. And then 2 weeks from now, Professor, we will be previewing this week one of week ones. I've never seen one quite as exciting looking as this one. So we'll look forward to previewing that with you here at BunnSports.com. We will see you next week.